Welcome everyone to this week's weekly market update, April 23rd, about noon Central Time, 3 hours pre-equity market close with myself and Carl. How are you?
I am doing just swell today, Scott. Yourself?
I am doing well. So let's just jump right into what the kind of the popular topic over the last, really over the last 11 trading days has been. But since last podcast, we have an S&P up 1%, a NASDAQ and Dow up 1.5%, a Russell, as we anticipated, up 2.5%, and we have an equal weight S&P up about 0.75. So the importance there is the weighted S&P up one, equal weight up 0.75. So they're kind of in line right now, meaning that we've seen really two migrations across the S&P so far this year. One away from the weighted S&P into more of that what we've been calling dispersion. And then we saw a brief rotation back into the weighted portion of the S&P. And then we've seen that kind of balance out, which is still great. As I've said before, I prefer to see it be more broad market for the long term, but not saying that one is better than the other, but I do like to at least see sort of that balance across a lot of different industries. And so that's sort of my take on the S&P. I do want to cover a stat in just a little bit, Carl, but what are your thoughts?
There's a few ways that we can look at the kind of rotation that's been happening. At the beginning of the year, it was very specific sector rotation, right?
Right.
People were rotating into energy and the foregone conclusion that Iran was going to be happening. And you could kind of see that built in and then the broadening of it. And then there's also an increase in the energy rotation. Now that the Iran conflict is kind of sort of coming to an end, there's not officially an end. It's not officially open and free flowing again. But you can see that the rotation back to leadership, back to the clarity that we like to call it, is showing that, okay, we want to get back into the growth side of the market. Because when you broaden it out, it is more, okay, everything's going to do well, but let's make sure we increase our dividend payouts and let's make sure we have different sectors and be fully diversified. And now you're seeing it rotating back out of diversification into just straight growth mode, specifically tech growth. And we're seeing that kind of take itself back off again, like we saw last year. Whereas last year we said, as Nvidia goes, so does the market. This year it's less as Nvidia goes, more as the top 10 go, so goes the market.
And I think a lot of that too has to do with coming up on earnings season in the tech space. But what is very refreshing from the last 2 years is seeing somewhat of a counterbalance between those top 10 and the rest of the 490 equities inside of the S&P, which is why we have been able to see our particular portfolios perform the way that they have this year. Right, because we've been very methodical about our tech exposure and when we wanted to have it, to your point, Carl, and really catching those rotations pretty nicely. And we'll continue to do that throughout the year. Now, going to what you were speaking on with the Middle East conflict and what kind of effects that has had on the global economy and global marketplace, what's interesting is this has been the fastest recovery. Anytime that the S&P has dropped more than 5% since the beginning of a year, right? So since Jan 1, this is the fastest recovery, 11 days to be exact, in history. So it kind of is
Wow.
reminiscent to me of, if you think back to when you think about geopolitical conflicts, here recently. And you think about, Russia, Ukraine, and you think about, Israel, Hamas, and even like looking at COVID, which was somewhat of a geopolitical deal as well. Those were all very steep recoveries, but this was 11 days. How amazing is that?
It's absolutely incredible that it happened so quickly. And that was something that you were essentially preaching the past month was we're getting some downside volatility, but be aware, typically when it goes down, the recovery is super sharp. Now, the fastest in history, I don't think we saw coming, especially because of the fact that the Iran conflict is still technically going on. We definitely foresaw this return. We thought it would take, just like all the other ones did, 3 weeks, about a month, back to all-time highs, and then see the push going forward. 11 days is absolutely remarkable. And going through that, we can take a look at the probabilities for interest rates. Let's jump into Carl's corner. And we're kind of seeing that reflected in the interest rate. So it's still the majority of the probabilities is for December. However, we're starting to get sneaking back into an October rate cut because the way that the Fed is currently dissecting the data for inflation, they go, okay, there's tariff inflation, there's regular goods inflation, and then we got future dated or future anticipated inflation due to oil change. And so when you see their probabilities kind of shifting as a chance that there's one in October for a rate cut, that means they're probably not as worried about inflation as they
True.
originally anticipated, as the market originally anticipated. And so we're kind of seeing all of that go and gel with each other in real time over the last week and a half.
Yeah, that's a very, very good point. Watching those expectations start to kind of creep back in, which are always fluid, but it is nice and relieving to see the idea or anticipation of even one rate cut for 2026. Which will create what we've talked about in the past, this sort of dynamic velocity of money. And it reaches all corners of the economy. And short term at least, that's a really positive thing. But what we're focused on is, portfolios, and it is very positive in the short term for equity prices and treasury prices. So I'm glad you brought that up. One thing I did want to touch on, Carl, we have started to drip back in some of that cash into the markets very responsibly as we've watched things develop abroad and here domestically. And so we've added a few different positions and we'll continue to add a few di different positions. But so far, and I want to get your take on this, but so far for this year, our positioning against just the broad, major indices in general looks just amazing. I could not be more proud as to how we're positioned right now against all of our peers.
This portfolio has withstood this event very well. And if we go back to last year, when we generated that cash position right before the tariff
Right.
downturn, the SPY itself, the S&P, lost about 18 to 20% in that range over those 2 to 2 months of turbulence, whereas our portfolios were down about 6 to 8%. We were able to really buffer ourselves to the downside there. This one, we didn't take a cash position. This one, we just stayed diversified when we saw that as the broadening happening at the beginning of the year. And then that diversification was able to hold up throughout this volatility event, where, like you and I talk about, the weighted S&P, well, technology didn't do very well. So the S&P was bringing it down, and we weren't that heavy in technology. We were very diversified across the board. Now, we generated cash, I think, a week ago, but a very little amount in order just to do the quarterly rebalance.
Yes, yep.
And so now we're able to drip it back in. And one of the sectors we dripped into was consumer staples. Looking at a few days ago, we had a report for retail sales. It was forecasted just to go up a percentage and a half. It went up almost 2% month over month. So now you're seeing the money is flowing back into the economy. So we want to be able to take advantage of that. And consumer staples also does typically well throughout inflationary because people need to get everyday object, which is what consumer staples is all about.
Exactly right. So we're kind of playing, and we probably haven't talked about this for on several podcasts now, but we tend to talk about how we take a viewpoint of short term, mid term, long term. And so to your point, Carl, that's very important that we do believe consumer staples over the midterm, while we are still experiencing consistently, I don't want to say elevated, but higher than what we project going in the long term, interest rates. So we get to take advantage of that consumer staple category or sector during that period of time, and then we get to rebalance, you know, when we feel like we can take advantage of any sort of future rate cuts. So it's really exciting year in terms of being able to kind of shift around seasonally, statistically, all of the different categories that we tend to talk about that we really hone in on, all of the analytical things that we look at. And so I'm really excited to continue to look at these different sectors in terms of portfolio construction and how we're going to play out the rest of the year. But I do want to remind everyone of the statistic that we talked about either last week or 2 weeks ago. It was a historical statistic that had only happened 9 times, and it produced, I think it was Carl, when it like 14.1% into the end of the year for the S&P. And so that would bode well for us as well. So just all in all positive things in terms of portfolios. Outside of that, we'll leave that to you know, to everyone else. But with that, Carl, do you have anything else?
One thing we have on the horizon that we're monitoring daily is Warsh started his confirmation process going through Congress. So we're keeping our eyes on that to see if he will, in fact, be the new chair. It's a little shaky to start, but you know, every day there's going to be more news and more confirmation. This is just the start. It could take a while before we finally get the official confirmation of him being the new chair. So, but that's one of the big things we have on our agenda and on our eyes for the next week. But if any of the listeners out there think someone might enjoy our market commentary, feel free to forward us on over to them. We're also on the iHeartRadio app and the Podbean radio app.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Carl. And with that, we're just going to go ahead and wish everyone a happy upcoming Friday and weekend. And we're also going to go ahead and look forward to doing this again next week.